All right. It says, these people are springs without water. And we talked about there's no benefit to a dry spring, right? So you're a spring. You just don't have anything to offer. So they're springs without water. Mist driven by a whirlwind. Actually, let's look that up, Michaela, verse 17. Let's look it up in interlinear. The word mist, there, 22:17. This gloom. So that mist is a shrouding like a cloud. In other words, have you seen dark clouds, but yet it doesn't produce any rain? That's why they use the word mist. But mist, is, to me, is talking about moisture. But what this is saying is you have the shroud. You have an outward appearance of what might be, but it's not doing anything. Okay? All right, let's go back to the text. So they're springs without water. They're clouds driven by the wind that's not producing anything. The gloom of darkness has been reserved for them. In other words, they have a destiny. God will not always tolerate. Do you understand? But the interesting thing about it is these things are allowed so we exercise freedom of choice. And a lot of people don't see that. If you never had a choice between following God and following the world, if it was always follow me, you always see a one-sided thing, then it's more of a coercing or more of a cloning. And that's not the way God operates. Salvation, the world, the price has been paid for everyone to be saved. But everyone is not automatically saved. So I set before you salvation. Now you can choose it or you can reject it. Okay? So there has to be something else over here as an option. You see where I'm coming from? And that's the reason that God tolerates this for a time. If that makes sense to you. Okay. He says, for uttering, now I don't use this word, bombastic, empty words. I look at the interlinear in verse 18. It's talking about the great swelling, 52:46. Bulging over. In other words, it's not just words. But boy, can they make this words of impact to deceive you. All right, let's go on. They're utter these great swelling words. They're empty. They seduce. They don't produce. Now, as I was looking at this evening or this afternoon, I actually wrote some notes in my Bible about this. They give you, and I'm talking about teachers in the church, and this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people that are going by the name of Jesus, okay? So they give you words, but they're not words that's producing good. It's actually counterproductive to good, okay? They seduce by, note this, fleshly desires. Now you think about this. What is the drawing card, if you will, for most churches today? It's an appeal to the natural man. We'll have such and such a singer, such and such a band, or we'll have such and such a celebrity. whether it's a minister, celebrity, or whatever. And see, it's things to appeal to you naturally. That's the very thing God told me not to do. Don't do that. Lay it out by the Spirit. Go to the Spirit. Don't try to get people by emotions and intellect and all these type things. Don't waste your time on people that don't want to know the truth. It's a diversion. It's keeping you from doing the main thing. Okay? By fleshly desires and debauchery, people who have barely escaped from those who live in error. In other words, they came out of that blatant sinful lifestyle to identify with Jesus, but they barely got out of that, and now they're wide open for seduction, and you're seducing them with all this religious stuff that's not God. Now that's what's going on today. They promised them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. Since people are enslaved to whatever defeats them, how can I offer you freedom from sin when I'm enslaved to sin? Now, maybe I'm not out here stealing, maybe I'm not out here committing adultery, but I'll sure deceive you to get your money. What's the difference? It's all wrong, isn't it? It's all sin. You see that? So the person that does that, these preachers that are doing all that are bound. They're not going to give you any liberty. They're bound. They can't give you what they don't have. They promised them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption, since people are enslaved to whatever defeats them. For if having escaped the world's impurity through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do you do it? How do you get out of the slavery of the world? Through the gospel. All right? Now note this. They are again entangled. That means they were entangled. They got out of the entanglement. Now they've gotten back into the entanglement. In these things and defeated, the last state is worse than the first. That's what we were talking about earlier. And note what he says. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, after washing itself, wallows in the mud. I can remember something that I heard when I was a teenager. I thought it was funny, and that's why it stuck with me, I guess. But this, actually, the pastor's wife, I'll use that so you know what I'm talking about, the guy that's overseeing the church. She said, you can, and it was over a particular situation, she said, you can take a pig and wash that pig and put it in the parlor. But you let it out of the house and it's going to find a mud hole walla. And what that was referring to was you have to change, the person's heart has to change. You can take their cigarettes out of their pocket. You can take all this and that away from them. But if you don't get a heart change, they're going to do the same things they've been doing. And churches for years have been dealing with the wrong thing. They've been trying to control people outwardly. They want to use rules and regulations and law. Get their heart changed. Get them to love God. And you get in a love relationship with God, nobody's going to have to tell you not to do this and not to do that. Don't do this, don't do that. You don't want to do it. Because you want to live a life that's pleasing to God. Do you see that? So, here's what I see. I see people in the, when I say church, let's just say the religious arena, okay? Just a blanket deal over religion. People, they get in church. They have an emotional experience. And they have a... something's made such an impact on them that they don't want to do something anymore. You know, they used to drink, now they don't want to drink. And they get into church and they've stopped this habit and that habit, and they stop carousing and doing all this type thing, and they get in, but they never grow in the Word of God. And you watch and you'll find that they'll get back out into the thing that used to have them entangled, because they haven't filled the house. They haven't done what the Word of God tells us to do. We're to grow in grace. You understand? We're not to get born again and stay an infant. The whole purpose of being born again is to grow into a maturity to where we're beneficial for the kingdom of God. Now here again is for the kingdom of God. It's not about us. It's about Him. Okay? And so this is where we have to examine ourselves. Now, I'll use myself, okay? I'll be very transparent with you. I grew up in church. But osmosis didn't take place. You understand? I grew up in church. I learned the language of the church. I learned how to testify a lie. I taught Sunday school. You with me? But had I ever had a genuine encounter, life-changing, heart-changing encounter with God? No. So you know what happened? I got out of church. I went back to an old way of life. I had no foundation in me. Everything was emotional. But most of what I grew up in was primarily emotional. Not back then, you didn't see many Bible teachers. People didn't want to hear a teacher. If you couldn't spit cotton and fling your hands, they didn't want to hear you. You had to be running, jumping, shouting, and all this. That was the thing of the day. And I wasn't a runner, jumper, shouter. That wasn't who I was. But I can tell you that later on, my heart changed. My heart changed. And when my heart changed, my desires changed. When your desires change, your actions change. It follows suit. I used to pray overnight, Lord, don't send me to hell. I didn't want to go to hell. I mean, I was that smart. I didn't want to go to hell. And the interesting thing about that, it says then, I don't even think about that. That's not even an option. I have eternal life. The heart change. The heart change where reality sets in. And so many people have not had that heart change. They have rehabilitated. And there's a difference between rehabilitation and new birth. And what most churches are doing is rehabbing people. They're not birthing them into the kingdom of God. And the only way they can be birthed into the kingdom of God is through the true gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can save you. But you think about it. How many churches are actually presenting to the people the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you just take any member of the church at random and say, tell me about the gospel of Jesus and what it's done for you, I dare say most of them would be at a loss for words, because they really don't understand what you're talking about. And yet Paul says the gospel's the power of God unto salvation. It's the gospel that changes a person, a new creation in Christ Jesus. I know when I was reformed, and I know when I got new birth, a recreated being, thinking differently. Different nature. That's not to say I haven't missed it. But I can tell you this, my heart has always been to God. God's forgiven me. You understand? There's a difference between stumbling and falling and just making sin a way of life. If I'm saved, what am I saved from? I had someone, I don't think it's been that long ago, telling me they were saved. I said, from what? I can't hear what you're saying for saying what you are. You with me? We should have such a desire for the Lord on the inside of us that these things aren't pulling us. Now, here's where most people, I guess, are falling into the trap. It's through two truths of the Word of God, faith and prosperity. The Bible teaches faith and prosperity. But men have distorted it. Now, they're not teaching faith and prosperity the way God believes it. And so they're using two things to entice people. Man, you live by faith and you get you a new house, a new car, you can get this and you can get that. You can put your faith out on this and you can put your faith out on that. My Bible says faith toward God, not things. Okay? And they're teaching you the prosperity message and giving you the hundredfold return principle and all this and how you do this and you do that. Any of you have ever given that to get that hundredfold return? Am I the only idiot in here? I've done it. And I'm a witness it didn't happen. And I did it in sincerity. It certainly wasn't in faith, it was in stupidity. It was because someone was presenting a need in such a way that you felt compelled to meet the need. That's not the way faith works. You don't give because there's a need. You don't give to get. Now, understand what I mean, but you don't give because there's a need. I'm talking about, you know, well, we want to put a new addition onto the church, you know, so we need, that's what I'm talking about. I borrowed money one time to give. I told you, I'd plead stupid on a lot of stuff, okay? But I've learned along the way as well. Had a sincere heart, it was just sincerely wrong. But God protected me in that, and God's revealed things to me along the way. And God's shown me that there is truth in these things, but it's, for the most part, there's a lot of error in it today. Well, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Keep the truth. Walk in faith. The just live by faith. Now, that, I could go off on that one. Faith's what you don't see. Did you live by what you don't see, or do you live by what you do see? Are you like Thomas? David Engel sings a song, you can't get Abraham's blessing with a Thomas kind of faith. Thomas says, I'll believe when I can see. Jesus said, blessed is the man who believes without seeing. Abraham believed without seeing, and he got what he believed. You see that? So, I believe in faith. I believe that's the way we'd walk. The just live by faith. I believe that I'm justified through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, but I didn't see any of it. I didn't see him on a cross. I didn't see him take a beating. I didn't see him come out of a tomb. It's by faith. You live by faith. That's what the living by the faith is. You receive the things of God by faith. You understand, I received the Holy Spirit by faith, just like I received Jesus by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. But is that a true statement for most people? Most people would have to say, I walk by sight. And that's why we have the problems that we have. That's why you can get enticed and get deceived. Because Satan is going to use things that appeal to the natural, to reasoning, to the senses. Just like he did with Eve. He got her looking. That looks good. Then he got her thinking. I bet that would taste good. And then he really captured her. You will be wise. You can be independent of God. You can make your own decisions. You understand that's what he was leading her to, and she fell for it. Don't ever get independent of God. We're not smart enough to make decisions on our own. We need the Lord. Because all that glitters isn't gold. You can be deceived by what you see. So we live by faith. We walk by faith. We're led by the Spirit. We believe in prosperity, but we're not greed-driven people. We believe that prosperity is for the benefit of the kingdom of God, not for how much you can accumulate and will to somebody else when you die. I'll let you think about that one. Okay. So, we don't want to be a dog or a pig. Right? We've come out of the entanglement. Let's stay out of the entanglement. Now, the way you stay out is don't think about it. If you don't think about it, you won't do it. For those that have sinned in the past, you thought about it before you did it. And you got to thinking about the pleasure that would bring you in whatever case may be, okay, of how that would benefit you. And because you kept thinking about it, You started looking for an opportunity. And then when the opportunity comes, it's conceived. When is a man tempted? He's not tempted by God. When he's drawn away of his own desires and enticed by that. That means he's thinking about it, and he gets pregnant. His thoughts got him pregnant. And then he delivers. He gives birth. That's the way it works. That's the way sin works. But I can tell you this. Righteousness will work that way. So we get our thoughts directed on God. Our minds stayed on the Lord. You cannot have your mind fixed on the Lord and be in turmoil. It's an impossibility. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect, complete peace, whose mind stayed on you." Why? Because you're trusting the Lord. But if my mind's not stayed on the Lord, I'm not trusting the Lord. Trying to figure things out. Have you ever tried to figure things out? We've wasted a lot of time trying to figure things out rather than talking to the Lord who already knows. We're going to grow up, aren't we? We're going to learn some things, and we're going to apply it. We're going to make an impact, and influence other people for the Lord. Not just with what we say, but with how we live. They'll see that what we believe is working. We're not just saying it. We're practicing it. And we're seeing the results of what we practice. That's what would get people's attention. Jesus practiced what he preached. And then he preached what he practiced. Right? He was consistent. Okay. I guess I'm in chapter 3, right? Somewhere. All right. He says, "Dear friends, this is now the second letter I've written you. In both, first letter and the second letter, I awaken your pure understanding with a reminder." My daddy used to use this phrase, "I'm going to stir up your mind by the way of remembrance." He would remind me of some things, okay? So, he says, "So that you can remember the words previously spoken by the holy prophets." Going back to the Old Testament. The Old Testament's good to know. We live under the new, but you can't understand the new without understanding, knowing things about the old. So he says that, "I want you to remember what the prophets said. The commandment of our Lord and Savior given through your apostles." In other words, remember the former prophets. Remember the present apostles. Peter was an apostle of Jesus Christ. In other words, I want you to think back of what was prophesied, and I want you to think back of what's been fulfilled. This is what we're teaching you. We're teaching you the fulfillment of those prophecies. Paul did a lot of that, didn't he? Okay. So, he said, first, be aware of this. Scoffers will come. That's an absolute. In the last days. For what purpose? To scoff, to make fun of, to make light of. Following their own desires, saying, "Where's the promise of his coming?" I've heard that all my life. I mean, I've heard rapture all my life. It hasn't happened. I don't believe that. And see, you'd be surprised how many people are saying these things. Church people, I'm talking about, that are saying these things. Where's the promise of His coming? For ever since the forefathers fell asleep or died, all things continue as they've been since the beginning of creation. I haven't seen Him come. Well, they're forgetting some things. They need to do a little history lesson from creation until that time. And they'll find that there was some judgment that took place. It said they willfully ignore this. Now note that. There's ignorance and there's willful ignorance. Ignorance is just not having the facts and not knowing. Willful ignorance is not wanting to know the facts. You refusing to read. It's like somebody doing something and you say, here, right here is a diagram. This shows you how this works. I don't want that. Now you're willfully ignorant. You understand? Before you didn't know how. Now you don't want somebody to teach you. And I found this, and you probably have too. Not everyone is teachable. Don't waste your time on the ones that aren't. Pour into the ones that are teachable. Okay? So, scoffers come. Where are the promise? For ever since fathers fell asleep, they continue as it has been since the beginning of creation. They willfully ignore this. Long ago, the heavens and the earth existed out of water and through water by the word of God. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without void, it was out form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit moved over the waters. In other words, everything was covered with water. God said, light be, light came. Then God said, all right, I want a firmament. I want to take waters here and put waters up here. There'll be waters in the sky and waters in the earth. Then He called for dry land to appear. You can go back and read Genesis 1. You'll find all that. I'm just giving you a quick summary because I've been told I'm running out of time. Okay? And so they're willfully ignorant that the heavens and earth existed out of water, through water, by the word of God. And through these, the world of that time perished when it was flooded by water. Now, a lot of people overlook what happened in the flood. It's not that they think, well, it rained, that flooded. No. It was more than rain. It says the fountains of the deep broke up. The windows of heaven were open. In other words, the water that was separated, all that water came back, and what did it do? It covered the land again. Interesting, isn't it? Well, I'm going to stop there. We'll pick back up with what verse? Which verse? 6, 5, 6, somewhere around there. Okay.